Thanks, Mark. Morning, Village Church. How you all doing? Good Thanksgiving? Good. Me too. We had a great Thanksgiving week. A week it was, I guess, kind of a few days. Thanksgiving early this year. It was nice to be with friends and family, and hope you guys had a good, restful Thanksgiving holiday. We're going to just kind of focus on that idea of thanks and Thanksgiving this morning. We're going to start an Advent series next Sunday. We're going to be taking four Sundays in the Gospel of Luke this Advent season, so looking forward to that. This morning, I thought we'd wrap up our Thanksgiving holiday weekend here with a little message on thankfulness here in Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm assuming that your Thanksgiving experience was a little bit like mine. I think our Thanksgiving experiences are similar because we have, I think, a similar human experience, but we also have a similar cultural experience. Maybe your Thanksgiving weekend or your Thanksgiving day, rather, started with, you know, coming in, seeing the family, a few pleasantries, and hugging and kissing people you've seen recently and you've not seen so recently. I know for us, it starts with, like, a family photo, right? So, like, we're getting the family photo right now before we get to anything else. We're back outside, inside, hugs, kiss, and then outside, you know, snapshots, photos, you know, too many for the kids. Then back inside, appetizers, food, drinks, fun, games, stuff with the family. Eventually, we all get to the table, right? You guys all get to the table eventually. And for most of us, there's a turkey, and there's stuffing, and there's carrot pudding. That's right, I said it, carrot pudding. It's not an oxymoron. Carrot and pudding. Look it up. All right, it's carrot pudding. There's a bunch of great food, and we all start into dinner. At my folks' house, there's a present for everyone. Does that happen at your house? It just happens at my mom's house. There's a present on every person's table or plate, and so generally it's like an ornament, a little trinkety gift. You know, there's those little things that are kind of all kind of sewn up, right? And then you pop them, and there's like some little prize in the inside. And then there's someone who, you know, is just kind of the silly person in the family who puts the hat on and then shames everyone else to putting the silly hat on. And then we're all there eating, and we're enjoying each other's company. And eventually, someone kind of, you know, dings a wine glass or does the, you know, kind of thing or whatever. Generally the patriarch, I guess it would be. And people start sharing the things they're thankful for, right? And we spend some time sort of going around the table, and this is a tradition in our family, and I'm sure it is in yours in one way, shape, or form. We share a tradition like this. And these moments typically start with most of us sharing our material blessings, okay? Our material blessings, the ones that are very, very tangible. You know, around our table, there was some talk about school, and in our family, there's some talk about college right now. It's a very tangible blessing. Our girls, all their friends are kind of early applying. They're figuring out where they're going to go to school. It's a very tangible blessing. Like, we're going to college here. We've been hoping to get there, and now we've arrived. We're going. It's going to happen, right? For some people, it's a job. Around our table, there was a person around our table who was in a new job. I think the job is about 3 months new. That feels like a pretty new job still. And kind of getting his legs and getting involved in it. And God's been gracious to him in that new job. And he's enjoying it. And then, you know, kind of thankfulness, that material blessing. For some of it was money. It was God's provision. Sometimes it's a bonus. Isn't that the best kind of money? A bonus is just the best kind of money. Except for the taxes part, right? I mean, they do a pretty good job nailing you on the taxes on the bonus, right? Anyone? No? All right, whatever. You should get one. They're great. Bonuses are great. Whether they're small or large, they're kind of wonderful, right? So it's a tangible blessing. So people start with that kinds of thing, right? That kind of material blessing. And then there's this shift. And someone around the table begins to talk about the immaterial blessings, right? The immaterial blessings. The ones that are tangible just in an immaterial kind of way because of things like health or relationship. A new child. Our church is bursting with new children. At the first service, the church was full, and it was full of pregnant women and women with babies, and just were lots of kids, right? Lots of children. What a blessing. It's a material, an immaterial blessing. It's a relationship. It's family. It's health. Around our table, there was someone who struggled with health things, but now is feeling better. Maybe around your table, there was someone who actually struggling with something health-wise, but they're counting God's blessing and his goodness and his grace in the midst of it, you know? The immaterial blessings that are so wonderful. And I want to pause and just say, these are all incredible blessings, and they're all from the hand of God. They're all from the hand of God. One of our favorite verses as a family, it started for Dean and I in the dating years when we'd write each other like little love notes, and we'd put like a Bible verse, because that's what you do when you're a Christian and you're in love and you write notes to each other. You write a Bible verse on part of it, right? And James 1:17 was always like one of the common ones, right? Every good and perfect gift is from above, as if to say, you are a good and perfect gift from above, right? And that was on, and you are. And that was on the letters and all. And every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Right? All of these are good gifts from God. They're his common grace and gifts, immaterial and material blessings. They're all from him. And so we wouldn't make light of any of them or minimize them in any way this morning. They are real and they're tangible and they're from God and they're good. But as Paul begins to write to the Ephesian Christians, he begins by writing to them and telling them about an even higher order of blessing, right? A spiritual blessing. A spiritual blessing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. There aren't just common grace kind of blessings, material and immaterial, but they are uncommon grace kinds of blessings, things that we would be thankful for. And if you know Paul's letter, you know that he doesn't have time or space on the paper to go into all of the spiritual blessings, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, because they are innumerable, right? They're infinite. Can't count them. But Paul does identify seven of them. And I just thought, as one of your pastors, maybe a good thing for us as we wrapped up our Thanksgiving weekend would be for me to help point us to these spiritual blessings. Because I think one of the reasons that Paul likely wrote and began with these spiritual blessings to the Ephesian church is that they lived in the midst of a culture that tended to focus on the material and immaterial blessings. Ephesus was a culture much like our culture. It was a place much like our place that was filled with wealth and influence and industry and education. Material blessings. People had homes and larger homes and homes by the water, right? Immaterial blessings, relationships. They were into diversity and individuality and individual freedoms. These were things that they valued. And so likely when they looked at things that they were thankful for, their lives were lived surrounded by this kind of culture, likely focusing on the material and immaterial blessings, which were good common grace blessings from God. But we know that the church in Ephesus may not have stayed focused on the greater blessings. Because we know as we get to Revelation, in Revelation, first few chapters there, the letter to the church in Ephesus tells them that they have lost their first love. They've actually moved away from the things that they began to believe in the beginning. The love that they first had, this gratitude that's just overwhelming, overflowing gratitude toward God. They had lost that. So maybe one of the reasons Paul started with these spiritual blessings is to help focus the Ephesian Christians on them, because we can tend to lose our focus. Not that the material or immaterial blessings are not from God. They are, and they're good graces from God, common graces. This morning I want to point you to his uncommon grace. That's what Paul does. Seven spiritual blessings we should be thankful for. Seven spiritual blessings we should be thankful for. I'm going to give you three caveats as we begin our time walking through these things. One, we're going to take a we were and we are approach to these seven blessings. We were and we are. Because oftentimes that's the way that we experience the blessings, right? We were uncertain about where we were going to school. But now we are going here and we're so glad we are, right? We were without a job for a number of months, but now I am in a new job that I'm actually enjoying and excelling, and that's a real blessing, right? We were in a home that wasn't really great for our family, but now we are in a new home that is great for our family. Yesterday, I was in the home of one of our village partners who said, you know, given my job, I shouldn't be able to afford to live in this house. And this is just an unbelievable blessing that actually this is my job and this is my house. And trust me, Dean and I feel the same way. The place we live, it's a miracle. It's God's good grace toward us. There's a change. We were living in one place, now we're living in the other, right? We weren't healthy, but God has helped and healed us, and now we are, right? Many of our blessings we recognize when those changes occur. And so we're going to take a we were and we are approach to these seven blessings. Secondly, I'm going to move quickly, okay? This is more meant to be sort of a exhortational instead of highly instructional this morning. We could spend 7 weeks on each one of these, and it would be a 7-week series, and this is maybe one of your favorite passages in the Bible, and so forgive me if ahead of time I'm going to tell you I'm not going to do it justice this morning, just walking through it quickly, but I want to walk through it in an exhortational kind of way with you, and so that's what we'll do secondly. And thirdly, we're going to end every one of our blessings by kind of declaring, making a congregational declaration of thanks to God. This is something I think we could grow in a little bit together, declaring things together, declaring them publicly. And maybe you grew up in a tradition like a Catholic church or a Lutheran church or Presbyterian church where there were some common readings and reader response. This won't be reader response as much as it will be us just sort of declaring these things together at the end of every one of these blessings. So those caveats said, let's just get to the first one, right? Which is election. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Election focuses us on this idea that God chose us. It's this idea that he chose us, again, before the foundation of the world. For some of us, we rejoice in this doctrine. We love this doctrine. You'd want me to talk about it all morning, and I have done this doctrine all in one morning years ago in the book of Ephesians. This morning, I'm going to move a little quickly, and you might be a bit disappointed. I love this doctrine. I love it. It's in Calvin's Institutes in the comfort doctrine section because it's a great comfort to God's people. And I want to tell you, it's a great comfort to me. I love this idea that God chose me in him before the foundation of the world. That whatever way you want to say it or see it, that God chose me before I chose him. God picked me before I picked him because it's before the foundation of the world. What a comforting doctrine to know and to celebrate. Because we were lost and guilty. We were lost and guilty, but now we are chosen and blameless. The Bible teaches we were lost and guilty. We were separated from God. Our first parents in the garden, they disobeyed God, and when they did, they were removed from the garden. They were lost, wandering on their own without God, and the generations of human beings from that time until this time have been either wandering, and we've been over this many times, away from God in rebellion against God. Or trying to find their way back to God through religion, but being lost either way. Lost in rebellion or lost in religion because we can't create our own way back to God. Lost and guilty. It was our parents' fault in the garden. They chose to sin against God. And we know that you and I would choose the same exact thing. That we also are lost and we're guilty. And yet God comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Reveals himself to us. And accomplishes what he had purposed from the beginning, that we are chosen and blameless, that even though we were lost and even though we were guilty, he would choose us. He would choose some of us. He would come after us by his grace. He would call us to himself. He would invite us into his family, as we'll find in a moment, and he'll make us blameless in his sight. It's incredible. What an incredible blessing. And Village Church, I'm grateful for all of your material and immaterial blessings, but I want you to celebrate this blessing, your election. God has chosen you. You're secure in him. And so I want to say thank you together. And so we're just going to say this together. We're going to read together now. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for our election, that you chose us in Jesus before the foundation of the world. What an unbelievable blessing. It goes along with the second one is adoption. Adoption. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. We were spiritually orphaned. And now we are part of God's family. We were spiritually orphaned, and now we are part of God's family. Now, listen, when you read a phrase like that, we were spiritually orphaned, I know you because I think you're probably a bit like me again. Human experience, shared experience. I think that when we think of ourselves as spiritual orphans, or at least when I think of myself as a spiritual orphan, I tend to think of myself as like the put-together one, right? I'm like the orphan that was like, you know, the cute one that was like smart and polite and just like all the families wanted to pick when they come to the orphanage. You know, it's just like there's something about me. Like I'm the one that's a bit cleaned up. I kind of have my act together. You know, I got my manners together. I'd be a joy to be around. Like they'd certainly want to pick me, you know. And I think the story of the Bible tells a little different story about people like me. You know, that I was probably the one that's most difficult to deal with, you know. The one who has the most baggage attached to him. The one that's been wounded and is probably most cold. Least likely to reach out, least likely to give love, least likely to receive it. In a spiritual sense, we're talking about to God. Probably the one that's least desirable, not the one that's most desirable. In Village Church, I want just that you get a picture that we were spiritually orphaned, and not like the orphan Annie kind. Like you weren't the one that Daddy Warbucks was coming to get. Like you were the other one, you know, and so was I. But God has adopted us into his family. We become part of his family with all the rights and privileges of a son or daughter. You know, in early Roman and Greek culture, they would adopt children into their family sometime to like raise the status of their family, which is another beautiful picture of this, that God has adopted us into his family as if to say, I want the status of my family in some sense to be heightened, or I want my glory to be seen, which is seen all of this passage in this wonderful way because you're part of my family. That's amazing. We know about Roman and Greek culture that sometimes they'd adopt children into their family and they would give them all of the rights that their naturally born children had. And we do that today with our families. I have two biological and one adopted child. And guess what? They share all the same rights. They share all of the same privileges. They share all of the same love, all of the same resource. We never even think about it because they share all of it the same, all of it equally. Around our Thanksgiving table this year, there was this little boy. He's 2 years old. And he used to live in a car, but now he lives with my sister and her family. And they've been fostering him for the better part of a year, and he's been to all of our family events, and he, you know, he's just the cutest little guy. And a couple of them shared about the way that he has impacted their life, you know, as they shared around the table, the immaterial kind of things, that relationship blessing. And they really want to advocate for the mom, and they'd like to see him reunited with his mother, and likely that won't happen, and likely he'll end up being part of our family. He'll just be one of the cousins, you know. And it's just incredible to think that, you know, around the same table is my nephew, who's 16 years old. He's the oldest boy cousin in our family. He was the first boy in our family. And this little boy who's 2 years old, who was a stranger living in a car, maybe 6 months from now, may have all of the same rights and privileges as he has. It's incredible. And it's really actually pretty beautiful. And it's really good. And it's an amazing picture of the gospel. For the church, I want you to know that you were spiritually orphaned, but you are now part of God's family with all of the blessings that that includes. Let me tell you, God's family is pretty good. I mean, my family has its problems, but we're a pretty good family in general, like generally speaking, my extended family. I think this boy is going to be elated to be part of our family. And just what a small, kind of gross, almost shadow that is of the wonderful blessing that we get to have being involved in God's family. So we're just going to declare that together. We're going to declare some thanks to God for this. Can we do that? Thank you, Father, for our adoption, that you've invited us into your family and all the blessings that includes. Awesome, incredible reality. Thirdly, our redemption. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. We were slaves to sin, and now we are free to be holy and joyful in God. We were slaves to sin. That's who we were. We were slaves to sin, but now we are free to be holy and joyful in God. In the culture that Paul was writing this letter in, there were three ways, basically, that someone could be a slave. They could be born a slave, and they could be enslaved that way. They'd be a slave by conquest. They were conquered by another people, and then they became slaves as they were conquered through conquest. Or they could become slaves through debt. They were indebted to someone, and they couldn't pay the debt, and they became enslaved that way. And you know what the Bible teaches, actually, that we're enslaved in all of these ways. We're enslaved in all of these ways. The Bible teaches that we were actually born into sin. We were actually born into sin. David says, in sin did my mother conceive me. And it wasn't just a sinful relationship, the idea. He was born into sin. We were also conquered by sin, in a sense. After the fall, we were unable not to sin. The other day, we were talking about this in Apprentice Academy, where during creation, like we were in the garden, our first parents, and they were able to sin and able not to sin. But after the fall, when they did sin against God, they were now able to sin and unable not to sin. Are you following me? Unable not to sin. That they could not help themselves becoming slaves to sin. This is what the Bible teaches and all that that includes. And we were also in debt to God because of our sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That is our debt because of our sin. But now we can be free and holy and joyful because we have been born again. We were not only born into sin. Now we've been born again, the Bible says, into a living hope through Jesus Christ and his resurrection from death. We've been freed by Jesus because of his conquest of sin, his conquering of sin on the cross. and we've been freed from our debt to sin because Jesus has taken our debt on himself on the cross. Jesus paid the price with his life. He has redeemed us. He has freed us. We were slaves to sin and all that comes along with a life that's enslaved to sin. But now we are free, free to be joyful and holy and obedient. A totally different life with all sorts of wonderful freedoms that come along with it. And Village Church, I want to encourage you and remind you this morning that you are redeemed. So this morning, we're going to say it together. We're going to declare it together. We're going to declare thanks to the Father. Thank you, Father, for our redemption, that you have freed us from our slavery to sin and released us to obey and enjoy you. What a great blessing. The fourth one goes along with it, our forgiveness. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. You see, we were liable for our sin, and now we are forgiven for our sin. We were liable for it, and now we are forgiven for it. We were liable for it because it was our responsibility. Our sin was and is our responsibility. And because of that, it's our liability. That's how insurance works, right? You are liable for the things that you are responsible for. You made the accident, you are liable for it. And yet the wonderful thing about what Jesus has done for us is he took our responsibility of our sin and our liability for our sin, and he made it his responsibility, and he took the liability. The Bible says that he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus took all of our sin on himself on the tree. All the liability, all of the consequence for our sin, Jesus took on himself so that we don't have to be liable. We were liable, responsible, but now we are forgiven. What an incredible reality. What an incredible reality that we are no longer liable for the things that we are ultimately responsible for. That Jesus has become our liability. That he has taken it all on himself. Yes, we are responsible for the way we live. Yes, we are responsible for obedience and holy living. And we can't just chalk that up to I have no responsibility. Absolutely, we're responsible now. We are now slaves to righteousness. But we're not liable for our sin. Jesus has paid the price. He has taken the liability. We were liable, and now we're forgiven. An unbelievable reality. It's incredible. It's not only do you not have to be a slave to sin anymore because you were redeemed, but you also get to be forgiven. It's a both and. You don't have to be enslaved to it, and you're also forgiven for it at the same time. What an incredible blessing. And so again, we're just going to pause and say thank you. We're going to thank God. And we're going to say thank you, Father, for our forgiveness, that our sin is forgiven, past and present and future, and the slate of our lives is wiped clean. Forgiveness. It's incredible. 5, his purpose. His purpose. Making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Village Church, we were living for things that were too small. And now we are living for things that are too great. Too great in the sense that they just can't imagine the way we get to live now. That we were living for things that were too small. Our own purposes, our own plans, our own designs. Some of us were living literally for stuff, for things. Isn't that crazy? That we were actually just living for things. Some of us were living for power, for prominence, for influence. Some of us were living for the sake of our career, or even good things like family or philanthropy, doing good things for other people. That was our greatest purpose in life. And no matter how much some of those things seem to outweigh one another, they're all infinitely small compared to God's purpose. But God could use them all and redeem them all for his own purpose, the purpose that he set forth. It says, to unite all things in him, things in heaven on things in earth, to redeem everything, to fix everything that's broken, to make everything right again. His big, great, grand purpose. We were living for things that were too small, and now we're living for things that are too great. They're just too incredible. That God would invite us into his purposes and into his plans. This week on Thanksgiving morning, I was reading Psalm 103 and Psalm 106. And I hadn't planned to send out the email that I sent out to you who are partners here at the Village, but I felt compelled to send it out because I was thankful for you. I was praying for you. I was thanking God for you. And every Thanksgiving, I have this kind of tradition, maybe you do, or this practice of just sitting down and reading a couple of those Psalms, generally 103, 106. 103 just recounting so many of God's good, great blessings. Psalm 106 recounting his blessings, but also just his patience, his kindness, his long-suffering toward people who don't appreciate his blessings, honestly. And it was just a great time to be thankful for those things. And, you know, every year when I sit down and just kind of go through my mind and rehearse and pray and thank God for so many things in my life, you know, one of those things is just being, that's at the top of the list, is just being involved in God's stuff, in his purposes, right? In his plans. It's just incredible. If you've been a Christian a long time, have you ever just thought about, just pause for a moment and a moment of silence or a little meditation time or whatever, a little quiet time, maybe you've pulled away for a little while and just thought about, you know, what your life would be like outside of Jesus, like what you would be living for and like what your life would be like without him? I mean, I can't imagine, you know? I mean, man, as many things as I could struggle with or as many things as I wish were different or, you know, as many limits and losses that we all have or whatever it is, I mean, at the end of the day, these things are all true about me and I'm involved in God's stuff. Like, I'm involved in his plans and his purposes. That's incredible. It's unimaginable, almost, his purposes. And so we just want to say thank you. And we want to say that together, corporately, this morning. We want to thank the Father. And so we want to say thank you, Father, for including us, for revealing your purpose and inviting us into them. It's amazing. Sixth this morning, our last two, our inheritance. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, of him who works all things according to the counsel of will, so that we who are first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him we have obtained an inheritance. You see, we were inheriting consequences, and now we are inheriting blessings. It's amazing. We were inheriting consequences. We were inheriting all of the consequences of living life on our own, all the consequences that come with living a life that's enslaved by sin, all the consequences that come with living a life that's stained by sin, all the consequences that come with being lost and outside of God through Christ. Like, we were just inheriting consequences. Again, the end of it is death. The wages of sin is death. We're reaping all of these negative consequences in our lives. But God has saved us out of that and given us an incredible inheritance that literally we cannot even imagine. An inheritance in this life now and an inheritance in the life to come that is only blessing. It's only good. Inheriting blessings now instead of consequences. You know, as we're sitting around our table, we're talking about all these blessings, and when we're together as family, we talk about things we want to do as family or taking trips together or this or that. And, you know, I was thinking about these things because they were in my mind. I was thinking about them all week. And I wanted to be grateful for these spiritual blessings as well as the material and the immaterial blessings in my life. And I was just thinking about this idea of inheritance. Like, listen, God has been kind to my family. And it's not like, whatever that show was, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, but like, God's been kind to our family. Like, I'm going to have an inheritance. Sometimes we joke with my parents, we just say, just spend it all. Just spend it all and give it all away, you know, after you help with college. But I mean, after that, just go, just give it, just go, spend it, give it, you know, a little tongue in cheek. You know, but there is going to be an inheritance. I'm actually the executor, you know, and it is going to be a time. But the funny thing is about families, actually we're enjoying some of the blessings and the benefits of inheritance now, right? Like when my folks say, hey, like, we're going to do this for vacation, or we're going to take you guys here, we're all going to enjoy this meal together or whatever. I mean, at the end of the day, they're just spending the inheritance, right? We're just enjoying some of it now. But there's something that's coming later, right, that I don't fully know yet, but I will know someday. And it's just sort of an interesting, again, interesting foreshadow, interesting just kind of little tangible analogy that's still just a gross distortion, but it's sort of a picture of like, we get to enjoy the benefits, the blessing of our inheritance in Christ in the here and now. There's so many wonderful things that we get to enjoy being part of God's family. But there is an inheritance that's coming that's beyond imagination, you know? It's too great to even think about, to comprehend. It's all blessing. In Village Church, I hope you see that. I hope you see your inheritance that you have in Christ, all the good blessings that you have in him today, and all that's awaiting you in that day. And so this morning, it's just, again, an exhortation. It's just for us to just be thankful and declare our thanks to the Father. So let's do that together about our inheritance. Thank you, Father, for our inheritance, that there is far more that awaits us in the life to come than in this life. And there's so many great things for us in this life, and yet there's far more that awaits us. And the last, his spirit, the last blessing, God gives us himself by his spirit. In him, you also, when you heard the words of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. You see, we were relying on ourselves, but now we are insured by God. We were relying on ourselves, but now we are insured by God. We were trying to insure ourselves. Do you know how few people can be self-insured? That's a very small percentage of people in the history of the world that can insure themselves. No one can do that. We all try to rely on ourselves, to ensure all these blessings for ourselves, to ensure our material blessings, to ensure our immaterial blessings, and we have a part in that to be sure. You want to ensure some material blessing in your family? Work hard, right? You want to ensure some immaterial blessing in the life of your family? Work on your relationships. Spend time with each other. Be intentional. Do you have a responsibility? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, for all of these blessings and all of these promises, we are relying on God himself. That we are insured by God. You are insured by God that all of these promises are real and they're all true and they're all lasting. You know, the thing about material blessings, as maybe you've experienced in your life, is that they can come and go, can they not? And it's sort of heartbreaking sometimes, but maybe you've also experienced this with the immaterial blessings in your life. They can also come and go. Health can come and go, and relationships can come and go, and people can come and go. Village Church, the great gift that we have is that these blessings will never go. They just come. They don't go. They're not going to leave. They're insured. They're sealed by God himself, by his Holy Spirit, who indwells us and makes these things sure. You are chosen by God. You will never be unchosen. You are adopted into his family. You will never be orphaned. It's impossible. You never will be. Again, you will never be alone. You are redeemed. You might struggle with sin, but you are not a slave to your sin. You're a child of God who's been redeemed by God. You're forgiven. You might sin, but your life is not characterized by your sin. You're not stained. When God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of his son. Your sins are forgiven. You are forgiven, right? You have a purpose. It's not just his purpose, your purpose. It's his purpose. You no longer have to live your lives. You will never again live your life for a purpose that's too small, only for one that's too big for you to fully comprehend this side of eternity, right? Unbelievable. Your inheritance is secure. Your blessings in Christ will never go away. There will never be a Thanksgiving where you're sitting around a table and one of these things won't be true of your life. Next Thanksgiving, you might sit around your table and you might have your health, but not your job. You might have your job, but not your health. You might have a relationship, but not the same house. You might have the same house and not the relationship. Something may change. And as you go around your table next Thanksgiving, you might have different immaterial and material blessings. But I'm telling you right now, these blessings are not going to go away. They'll be as true for you that Thanksgiving and the next one after that and the next one after that until we see Jesus as they are in this one. And I hope it gives you a lot of hope. And I hope it gives you a lot of confidence. And I hope you see this really good news. And we have a whole nother level of blessings to be thankful for as Christians. And I hope you wrap up your Thanksgiving weekend thinking about that, okay? And that's our good news for this morning. And like any morning, I want to tie this together with a good news statement. Here's what it should be for this morning. That as Christians, we have immeasurably more to be thankful for in Jesus because of the immeasurable work of Jesus. That's it. As Christians, we have immeasurably more to be thankful for in Jesus because of the immeasurable work of Jesus. And it's really good news. I hope it gives you a great rest of your Sunday, and I hope it propels you into this next season as we look forward to Advent season, celebrating the coming of Jesus to us. You know, as we get ready to respond, we're going to respond in three normal ways. We always sing songs to Jesus, and we're going to sing four more songs. We're doing seven songs this morning. We just thought we'd do one extra one because this morning should be filled with praise and thanks. And so in a moment, you're going to get to stand and sing and declare your thanks to God through song. We hope you enjoy that. We're going to share communion, remembering Jesus' body broken or given for us, his blood shed for us. And we're going to remember our redemption and our forgiveness as we remember him through communion. We do that every week. We remember him through our tithes and offerings. And if you're a Village partner, you know how to give this morning here or online. And then the last thing we're going to do this morning is we're going to respond by just giving you an opportunity just to stand where you are before we all stand together and sing. Just to stand where you are and just to give a public declaration of your thanks to God. You know, we do this as families around our dinner tables on Thanksgiving. We go around and each one of us, we go around the table, and it doesn't have to be each one of us this morning, but each one of us go around the table and we share one of our blessings. And I'm assuming that there's some of us that are here this morning that feel this sense that God has blessed us so tremendously that I just want to just stand and just say, God, thank you for your blessing. And so you might say, like we have been doing, I've been kind of greasing the wheels a little bit here with our kind of corporate declarations. You might just stand and say, Father, thank you for, and then just share in a sentence what you're thankful for. And I'd love to hear it, and we'd love to hear it. I loved hearing some of the praises and the thanksgivings that happened around our table this past Thursday. And I think it would really bless God and would bless his people to hear those things. So there's no pressure, just an opportunity. If you have something you feel like you're just deeply thankful and grateful for, and again, this is something I feel like we need to grow in as a church a little bit, and I'm just going to give us good opportunities. So here's one. Anyone want to stand and just declare some thanks to God? Yeah, God's given us a lot of great gifts like that in our family. He pointed us to Jesus. Someone else this morning? Anyone else want to stand and give thanks? I know all you introverts are giving thanks in your heart. That's fine. We love you. Oh, praise God. Second chance of life is not a bad thing to be thankful for, huh? Praise the Lord. Someone else this morning. We have time for a couple of you if you want. If not, we'll stand and sing. All right. Well, why don't we all stand? Why don't we all stand and sing and declare some praise to God with our voices and song? Would you bow your head, your heart with me as you stand? Jesus, we love you. We thank you for all of these great blessings. Father, we thank you for giving us these blessings through your Son. All of it says, in him, in him, in him. And Father, we thank you for all these blessings that you've given us in and through your Son. And so, Lord, our hearts are full with your material blessings. You have been so kind to us that way. Lord, we are thankful for our immaterial blessings, our health, our relationships, the people that we know and love. Lord, we are thankful for the spiritual blessings, all of these things that are true about us and true for us because of you, because of your Son. So we thank you and we give you praise this morning.